All right. So, what I another thing I'd like to talk about now, getting full circle here, back to the local, things having to do with Cambridge City Council, just for starters. So one of the things that happened, of course it happened. So they did the mayoral election, and on January 5th. I believe, yeah, January 5th. And then the first regular meeting of the city council took place a week later, January 12th. But even before the meeting, actually it took only 3 days, the assignments of the city council subcommittees were announced. And some of them are just, sort of predictable and reasonable, and some are actually pretty horrible. And I have it on good authority that some of the most horrible decisions that were made were part of the whole mayoral selection process. That is to say, if I'll vote for you if you agree to make me the head of such and such a committee. And there were some people who were mayoral aspirants who said, well, I'm not going to agree to that because it would be a terrible outcome. So, to the credit of those mayoral aspirants who said, I'm not going to go along with craziness, thank you. I really appreciate that. But we elected Mayor Siddiqui, who apparently did want to go along with some craziness. And I'm not happy about that. So let me just pop over here and talk a little bit about exactly this. All right. So the city council committees were announced, and I mean, I got them really, I think it was January 5th, 6th, 7th, or 8th. Yeah, January 8th. Record turnaround. And as I commented at the time, this is going to take some time to digest, especially the decision to appoint as chair of the Public Safety Committee someone who has repeatedly called Cambridge police murderers, right? But this Mayor Siddiqui, when she was mayor previously, appointed Quentin Zondervan, who had similar anti-police attitudes, as chair of public safety in both 2020 as well as 2022. And that was a disaster. It was at a time when having somebody like that in that position would have been terrible. And I fully expect it to be really terrible this time around. Now I hate to get come down so hard on the newbies, but this is Al Zabi, is the person who's to be chair. And so they made the deal here that not only to make Ms. Al Zabi chair of public safety, which I think is despicable, but also co-chair of the finance committee. Now you might say, well, at least Councillor Nolan, who has some experience, is also co-chair, but are we going to have budget hearings? Are going to turn into just one after another appeal to deeply fund social housing to the tune of a $50 million bond to do so? And if you don't do that, we're going to just kind of train wreck the entire process. Gosh, I hope not. I was not particularly pleased to see that head of government operations and rules was Mr. Sabrina Wheeler. I mean, not that, I mean, there were some proposals for charter change that had been kicked down the road, referred to the Government Operations Committee. Things like having directly elected mayors and various other things that I thought were terrible ideas. Anyway, so is Mr. Sabrina Wheeler going to use his new role as chair of government operations to sort of try and revive some of those things that were in fact not included in the recently passed city charter? Gosh, I hope no. I hope not, but who knows? Anyway, those are some of the committee assignments. Again, I won't just stay on that topic forever here. But I mean, some of the decisions make sense. I mean, I think Councilman McGovern has certainly earned his right to continue on with the ordinance committee. The on housing, no, nobody should be surprised that it was Burhan Azim and Sabrina Wheeler. But at this point here, it looks like the deck has been stacked in order to achieve certain ends with the housing committee. Now, by the way, just as sort of a side note here, in my opinion, I don't think the chairs of city council committees should be the ones initiating activity at their committees. I think the city council, you bring in an order, you say, this is an idea we would like to explore. And then you use that order if it has majority support, possibly on amendment. And then you refer it to the committee, and then the committee takes it on. So I certainly hope that we're not going to start seeing a new normal of city council committee chairs just basically using their committees as soap boxes and as vehicles for pushing through their own personal agendas. Now, I'm not particularly thrilled with the majority of the city council here, but at least if it is a majority and the majority says, okay, let's look into this, then at least it's a reasonable procedure. I would like to see, and again, Denise Simmons is a personal friend, but if we're going to have a civic unity committee like we have, they ought to do that, right? When I think about some of the controversies that have taken place through from 2020, 2021 term, and then 22 into 23, hope I'm getting the years right here. There have been some things that I think were very, very disruptive in terms of civic unity, and the Civic Unity Committee never really took any of them on. So if the Civic Unity Committee is not actually going to take on matters that involve sort of bringing a little more cohesiveness to the community, then disband it. Don't just have it as a standing committee that basically pitches the responsibility of unifying the city to other parties, right? So that's not meant as criticisms, really, even though it may sound it. Maybe it is a bit. It's really more of a suggestion, We could use a little civic unity. I mean, honestly, even when there was a matter of a suggestion about when there was a proposal a couple of years ago to have the city take over Cambridge Day, which I was not really a good idea to have the government sort of directly involved with local journalism. But in the end, there was a suggestion made by some people, including me, that, well, maybe the whole matter of local journalism is something that should be discussed at a meeting of the Civic Unity Committee, because how do you build community without communication? And without essentially the water cooler around which people gather to exchange information. So anyway, I'm offering that simply as a suggestion. So anyway, moving on. We did have a city council meeting on January 12th. Again, this was part of the agenda was the announcement of the city council's committee. So, I think I entitled that meeting Circling the Wagons, because I think we're a little bit under attack here. And I think it's going to be a lot of weird, pardon me, I don't want to predict badness here, but I think we're going to see a lot of weirdness this year. I fully expect by maybe as soon as next week, we're going to start getting international resolutions, declaring Israel to be guilty of genocide or some other rubbish like that. I can almost guarantee you that that's going to happen soon. I mean, partly because I've kind of already heard rumor of this here. It will be interesting if there is some city council resolution that addresses foreign policy matters of that nature. It will be very interesting to see what Mr. Burhan Azim does. This is the same Burhan Azim who, a couple of years ago, made a very pointed announcement at a city council meeting that he was going to vote present on all future city council resolutions that had to, that they were not really sort of part of what local matters, right? But we're all wheeling and dealing, and rumor has it, not more than rumor, as already Mr. Azim has already announced that he's at least considering seeking to see looking at the possibility of the Pat Jaylen Senate seats, Pat Jaylen announced that she was not going to seek re-election, and now there's three or four or more candidates who've expressed interest in seeking that seat. I did find it very curious that when Evan Mackay announced he was going to run against, so because I'm running off on a tangent here, going to run against Marjorie Decker again, so that's going to be an interesting shit show this year. That by his side there was Burhan Azim. I'm thinking, ah, okay, so Burhan wants to, cater to the DSA crowd, right? And I never really thought of him as a democratic socialist kind of guy, but politics is politics, so maybe he wants to get all that youthful Mamdani-like support to come and help put him into office if he should follow through on this suggestion that he might seek Pat Chanlon's Senate seat. By the way, it is a little funny, and I'm not trying to beat up on kid here, right? But Burhan Azim lives in Sal DiDomenico's Senate district. He bought a two-family home, and only is the owner of a two-family home, which is in Will Brownsberger's Senate district. There are three Senate districts, and now he's letting it be known that he wants to seek election in the other state Senate district, the one where he doesn't live in, and where he doesn't own property. And it's sort of like, wow, that's pretty interesting. Anyway. Let me get back to matters here, having to do with what's been going on or whatever. So I it'll be interesting to see whether the price that was paid to give Mr. Azim the title of vice mayor, which is a meaningless title, whether that price was to basically say, I will do that and I will now go along with foreign policy matters here in order to play into the DSA political crowd, so that I can have, worker bees ready to sort of, go to bat for me. It'll be so interesting. There were a few interesting things that did happen at the meeting. Maybe I'll get into some specifics. I always find it interesting when the city manager and city staff come, and this the city solicitor in particular, Megan Bear, give updates. I think it's been great, actually, to give updates, federal updates. Wouldn't say they're particularly neutral in their position, right? But letting the city councilors know what the city is actually involved in terms of amicus briefs potentially, or responding to threats of cutting off of funds for housing, etc. It's actually one of the most interesting parts of the city council meetings is these federal updates, and they happen either every other week, more or less every other week. I did find it interesting that there was a what I would call routine announcements, or at least appointments to several boards. One was the Mid-Cambridge Neighborhood Conservation District Commission, and Mr. Azim took it upon himself to announce to the world that he disagreed with everybody, every single one of the appointments, but in the spirit of democracy, he was still going to vote in favor of them all. There is some suggestion has been made that some of the YIMBY crowd would like nothing more than to completely demolish historical preservation regulations we have, or demolish or thoroughly defang the neighborhood conservation districts, because they might, God forbid, stand in the way of tearing down a historic structure in favor of putting up a tower. So I don't know. One of the things that I think is actually an interesting one. So there was a city council order from. Oh, by the way, one thing that I think was very notable about the first city council meeting of this new term was the way the two new councillors, which is Alzabi and Flaherty. And again, I'm not doing this to rag on them. I guess this makes total sense in a way, but they were sort of like going back and forth. Seven other councillors basically sort of sitting back, and then the two new ones are just trying to get as noticed as possible. And I don't know, at some level, it was a little entertaining, actually, I would even say. And I think, but there was a sort of a tradition in a lot of other bodies when you're the new person, you're a little sheepish and you sort of sit back and you're courteous, you sort of wait your turn to make your maiden speech or whatever it is you want to call it. Boy, it didn't play out that way. So anyway, it was interesting. So there was an order, and the order basically, I won't read it exactly verbatim, but it was basically asking the city manager to conduct a review of existing safety and security measures at Cambridge City Hall. Possibly putting in physical access controls, visitor screening practices, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, surveillance systems and what have you. I'm completely sympathetic with people who I know at City Hall who have at times felt somewhat threatened by some of the actions that have taken place at City Hall, like big protest rallies out front, where then people sort of come in and they linger and they can be a bit of an intimidating presence. Whether they're actually done anything that's actually threatening in some sense, I don't know for sure, but I do know that there are some who feel very uneasy when some of these events happen. But boy, I really don't want to have a situation. I mean, I've always walked into City Hall for, 40 years, really. It kind of feels like your living room. You go in, you see people, you go, hey, how you doing? If there's some business you need to conduct, you just go into the office and they're usually friendly and welcoming and what have you. Always cooperative, it's been great. And the notion that somehow, what are we going to have to go through metal detectors or have the big camera zooming in on you, doing facial recognition, when you go in to make sure you're not one of the bad guys. I don't know. It's sort of reminiscent of them screening little old ladies at airports just because they were terrorists in the world, So I hope they can find kind of a happy medium. And we already have a police officer stationed right in the lobby of the City Hall most hours of the day. So why isn't that enough? Why isn't that enough? And if there is an event, an incident, a rally that's going on, Cambridge Police always provide backup. They may stay a little out of sight, but they're there, to provide the additional security when needed, but they don't need to be there all the time. So anyway, that I believe that was made either subject to the charter right, so for further discussion at the next meeting. I should go check that, but I think that's true. But in any case, it'll be referred to and it'll be a discussion down the road, and it should be. So anyway, that's a few things. I think a couple of other items. Oh yeah, there was an order, which makes total sense. There was an inventory made of city-owned properties. I think it was originally, it was more centered around Central Square, but it included other city-owned properties that could potentially be used for various purposes, like the property down on Windsor Street. I think it was an old Cambridge Health Alliance building on Western Avenue. But this also includes a building that's being used, city-owned building that's being used for community purpose on Lowell Street out in West Cambridge. Anyway, I worry a little bit. I think Ms. Al-Zoubi expressed some concerns about this, maybe even exercised a charter right on this. Probably because, and I'm just guessing here, speculating, that there have been notions that maybe some of the parking lots in Central Square could be used for housing. I think ultimately that's exactly what will happen. But there is the kind of DSA contingent that, in the Our Revolution crowd, who absolutely believes that the only housing that should be built should be, first off, the city should never give up property that it has gathered. So the city's owned presence should only grow like entropy, right? But they should never sell off a parcel, regardless of the arrangement. But there, like the property that was just back to being a parking lot where Starlight Square was, that was, floated the notion that there should be some housing there. In my opinion, if the only housing projects that happen in Central Square are affordable housing overlay type projects, 100% So if you're basically just you're declaring that Central Square from now on shall be primarily subsidized housing, public housing, working, and which, in my opinion, is not a formula for it to have a thriving commercial district, is to have that be the only people who are in and around there. So anyway, so there seemed to be some delay on that one because I think likely someone or more of the city councilors are going to try and make the point that only, quote, social housing shall be built in and around places like Central Square. That's liable to be part of the rhetoric that we're going to be subjected to in the days to come. We don't be surprised. There was one matter that was actually referred from the previous city council having to do with this notion that when new developments happen that are transit oriented, that somehow the residents of those properties should not be allowed to have resident parking stickers, right? Meaning you came here, meaning you promised to forevermore use public transportation only. I think that's a non-starter from a legal point of view. I've always felt that way, and the city solicitors over the years have been pretty consistent saying that you can't really do that. After all, having a parking sticker also gives you the right to park all around the city in resident only spaces. It's not just a right around where you live. I mean, there is a real advantage as a Cambridge resident to have that ability to utilize resident parking all around the city. And to say to one class of people, because you happen to live here, you shall not be allowed that privilege that others have, I think is already makes it questionably legal. Now, even though I've heard Somerville, apparently they've passed some sort of an ordinance of this nature, but as they say, no whistle, no foul. If somebody challenges it, I have a funny feeling that it would be invalidated, right? Maybe the last of the sort of the big items that I'll just mention from the meeting is another item which was held over from the previous term was they resolved, for better or worse, the North Mass Ave rezoning, which was going to allow 12-story buildings pretty much as of right, as long as you have commercial on the first floor, et cetera, et cetera. But they delayed the one on Cambridge Street, Inman Square heading east into East Cambridge. All right. I always like to point out East Cambridge starts at the tracks. So we'll say Eastern Cambridge or Cambridge Street as it passes eastward toward East Cambridge. And even though there was a study group of people who came to some consensus, the Community Development Department, in their infinitesimal wisdom, loves to nowadays, come back in favor of the YIMBYs and say, well, we'll see your proposal and add two floors, pretty arbitrarily, I think. What are they up to? They're recommending 8 stories or something. I don't even remember. But it's not so clear that that one has city council support, especially with the new city council. Or maybe it has to go back to the drawing board. Or maybe they're going to try and rush it through anyway. But that one, if it's going, it has up until this coming Monday to be ordained or not. And they could just sort of let it expire and then refile it, which seems like the more likely outcome, especially since some of the really hard left people are basically saying, you shouldn't, we don't want this because it doesn't require nearly enough subsidized housing. Which is kind of a curious thing, since there is this ongoing lawsuit now having to do with challenging the legality of inclusionary zoning, at least inclusionary zoning in its current incarnation, which has a flat 20% requirement, which arguably is a regulatory taking. And I do say arguably because it still has to be adjudicated. We'll see where that one goes, And again, just to sort of try and wind things down here, I'll just say there was also a committee report from a government operations committee meeting, which took place in December that I attended, that had to do with this shakeup that had taken place at the behest of the chief people officer and the oh, I don't know, the chief of equity and inclusion, which basically ripped the Women's Commission to shreds, and reorganized the various boards and commissions, which, by the way, I agree, we need to look at these things and reorganize them periodically. I think that's completely appropriate. But, it was an interesting spectacle to see the city manager, who I think is a good man, basically pitching the responsibility of taking all the heat to the chief people officer and the chief of equity inclusion, while the entire audience was basically people who were sympathetic to the Women's Commission, who felt they had been wronged. Not a real tough guy move for the manager to basically just let the others take the heat. And by the way, I'm, at the risk of sounding Trumpish, I don't actually like the concept of diversity, equity, and inclusion being a kind of a bureaucracy. To me, these words, good principles, good intention, good policy. But I don't actually think there should even be positions, paid positions, whose sole job is basically to make sure that that all of these that hiring and appointments all have to meet these criteria. I think you really a well-functioning city and state or government or university needs a little bit more flexibility than that, Anyway, I found that to be kind of an interesting thing. One other thing that was determined or announced, but there was some of it has had heard about it before, was a very significant passing of a gentleman named Bob Hurlbut, who was very actively involved, really kind of a creator of the Cambridge Community Foundation, in a kind of behind the scenes kind of way, never making a public spectacle of himself. He was one of these really great civic people who was a mover and shaker in making good things happen all around the city. And he lived a good life, died in his 90s. So there was a recognition of the passing of Bob Hurlbut at the January 12th meeting. Again, if we really had good, and actually, this was covered. I think the Cambridge Day did have a good piece about that because he was apparently instrumental in the facilitation of the Cambridge Community Foundation's creating kind of a funding mechanism for the preservation of Cambridge Day. So I guess no surprise there that he should be mentioned. But I think that was a very significant passing and an important passing. Yeah. So anyway, so what's up next? I think I'm curious to see what shows up on the agenda for this coming meeting, January 26 meeting, whether we're going to be talking foreign affairs and genocide and all that stuff. Are we really going down that road this early? I wouldn't be surprised. It'll be very interesting to see how the political aspirations of some individuals play into city council dynamics. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, Burhan Azim has let it be known that he's considering seeking the Senate seat. And what that means, he wants to consolidate support amongst various factions in Cambridge if he wants to do that, because the other people who are seeking the seat are coming from places like Medford and Somerville, and they've got pretty good resumes to do to, that they bring with them. Right. As I say, mentioned, I'm not looking forward to the Decker Mackay business because I don't particularly appreciate the underhanded manner in which the DSA adherents tend to operate, which is basically slander first, runaway second. That tends to be their modus operandi. Anyway, that's probably pretty much it. I think I'll basically call it a day on that note. And I'll see you again, I guess, in early February on Cambridge Inside Out.